As I mentioned earlier, this is the second week of Advent, and we are looking at the candle of peace. And when a pastor has the topic of peace to preach on, guess how his week usually goes? So, that didn't change at all. It was a full week. It was a good week. I don't want you to think it wasn't a good week. It was a good week. But it was full and hectic. And there were times that my plan was this, and that's not what ended up happening. And there were a lot of zigs and zags. And so, you know, when there's zigs and zags, we're trying to catch up with what's going on, and it can often feel overwhelming and hectic. And it felt that way this week for me. Last week, we looked at the candle of hope, the very first week of Advent. And we looked at how the promise of the Messiah in the Old Testament was the hope for the nation of Israel. And we also looked at how the coming of Jesus as the Messiah gives us hope because it shows God's faithfulness. And also that because of God's faithfulness, we can know and walk in hope that Jesus is coming again as he promised. And so today, we do look at the second candle, and that is the candle of peace. This candle is also known, I mean, the whole time of Advent is really preparing for the birth of Jesus. But this candle also can be known as the candle of preparedness. And it's us taking time to be prepared. And really, when we are prepared, don't we often have peace? It is. It's when we're not prepared, when we don't find ourselves prepared, when we feel like things are in an upheaval and we don't have peace. So today, a season of peace. What normally comes to mind when you think of peace? What are some of the first words? This is interactive. Quiet. Okay, I heard quiet. Absence of conflict. Being still. Sleep. Is that what I'm hearing over here? Sleep. Okay. What else? Anything else? Stress-free. Calm. Calm. Music. Okay. Yeah, because music can be peaceful, even when it's loud and banging. Yes, for some people. Okay. What was that one? Camping? Camping. All right. Actually, that's where, for me, when I think of peace, I think of a glass lake. You know, a lake that is just like glass, just smooth, quiet, still. Just let that, can you think of a lake? Mountains. But those are big and gregarious. But it still can be peace, right? A sleeping baby is peace. That's true. No war. Jesus' love. A gentle rain. Yeah. On a metal roof. Some people might find that annoying. Isn't that? It's perspective, too. Perspective. Our different perspectives have different peace. All right. Dictionary.com, that theological book, website. Peace. Many. They have how many? 12 different definitions here. Peace. The normal, non-warring condition of a nation. The normal non-warring condition of a nation. So if it's not normal, a group of nations or the world. So non-warring. So that's the whole non-conflict. Peace, an agreement or treaty between warring or antagonistic nations, groups, etc., to end hostilities and abstain from further fighting or antagonism. Peace, a state of mutual harmony between people or groups, especially in personal relations. Number four, the normal freedom from civil commotion and violence of a community, public order and security. Number five, cessation of a freedom from any strife or dissension. Okay, and it took five. I mean, the first five were all about conflict or between people. It took down to number six, where it finally gets into more personal freedom of the mind from annoyance, distraction, anxiety, and obsession, etc., tranquility or serenity. Seven, a state of tranquility or serenity. I think most of us, when we first started saying, we were really talking more personal peace than necessarily outside peace. But this jumps in straight with outside peace, which I thought was interesting. Eight, a state or condition conducive to, proceeding from, or characterized by tranquility. Number nine, silence or stillness. It goes on. There's more. But peace. In our culture, how often do we feel like we have peace? Personally, do we have... We make ourselves busy, don't we? When you look at the Hebrew word for peace, it's shalom. It's from the word shalom, which is spelled the same way but with an A. And it actually is, the definition of it actually has to do with being restored or being whole. So that's more than just quiet or still. It's about that state of feeling whole, which is why I think a lot of times with the preparedness idea, because when we are prepared for something, we feel complete or we feel whole. So it's more than just still and quiet. It's being whole, which I think is really an idea for us to stop and process and think about. Why is our world so much upheaval and non-peace? Because we're not whole without Jesus. And most of our world is without Jesus. And so how can we even have peace? The Greek word, arene, from arrow, also meaning whole or one, being one, or even having rest. Jack this morning said in our prayer time, arene, arene, peace. He thinks of a soft rain. And it's true. Peace. Whole. Advent is our way of preparing for the birth of Jesus. And when we are prepared, we have peace. We feel whole. So this morning we'll look at four different ways that we see peace when we celebrate this Christmas time. Okay? I'm going to pray for us. Father, we thank you that in you we can have peace. And so as we take this time this morning to look into your word, and to look at how you have supplied us with your peace and the ways that you do that, I ask for your blessings. I ask that your Holy Spirit will fill our hearts and mind. I pray that you will give us ears to hear. I pray that your Spirit will give us all peace this morning. And Father, we've all had a different week. None of us has had the exact same week. Some of our weeks have been great weeks full of good things. And some of us have had weeks that we hope never happens again, and we would hope on that it would never happen to anyone else. And our emotions and where we sit right now are in all kinds of places, but I pray right now that you would meet us here. And that we would open our hearts to your peace, and we would allow you to invade our hearts with your peace. And that we'll be able to rest in you, regardless of what our circumstances might be. Because in you, you handle all of those. You are bigger than those circumstances. And your peace passes all understanding. And so we ask that you would deliver your peace to us now. And Father, I pray that it's something that goes with us, not just in this time, but as we go out from this place. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to look at four things this morning. First thing I want us to look at, and I want to say this too. If I go too fast, I've been told I go too fast with some of my scriptures, okay? I'm not going to slow down. Just saying. But you can go on our website every week. Usually they're posted by Tuesday, Monday, no later than Tuesday. And on the website, you can go to sermons and you can listen to them there, but also the slides are also there. So all the scriptures are there. So if I go too fast now, you can get those. Or you can ask me, I'll send them to you. But Isaiah, peace comes from salvation. Peace comes in salvation. Salvation gives us peace with God. And the reality is, why do we need salvation? Because we're sinners. We all have sin. Sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from God. So right off the bat, because sin entered this world, because sin is here, we automatically start our lives without peace. We don't have peace. And any attempts in and of ourselves to achieve peace will never happen, because we in and of ourselves cannot make our lives whole. We can't do it. No matter how hard we work, no matter how hard we strive. And believe me, people have worked and strived to do it. And they wear themselves out. And they don't end with peace. Until we recognize and realize 100% that in and of ourselves we can't have peace, and we surrender 100% to Jesus, that is the only way we will have peace. Peace comes in salvation. Jesus came into this world to reconcile us to God and to make us whole. Amen? To make us whole. And until we are made whole, we will not have peace. So peace comes in salvation. I was 8 years old when I asked Jesus to be my Savior. I shared this almost a year ago, 11 months ago when I was here and spoke last January. I was 8 years old when I accepted Jesus as my Savior, and I knew it. I knew I needed Jesus. I knew there was something that kept me from being whole. And I'll tell you, as an 8-year-old, I didn't know peace. I didn't understand peace. What was peace as an 8-year-old? Back in 1980, peace. Tie-dye t-shirts. They still have tie-dye t-shirts today, don't we? That was peace for me. I had a pair of jeans with a hole, and I put a patch on the hole because you didn't wear jeans with holes in them. Then, by the time I was 16, you wore holes with jeans in them, but not when I was 8. Holes with jeans in them? Jeans with holes in them? It basically seems like there are holes with jeans in them, don't they? I planned that. I have that written down right here. I don't. Holes with jeans in them. That's pretty good. I'm going to say that to my daughter. Those are just holes with jeans in them. Come on. Can't wear those. I was 8 years old, and that's what I had. I remember I had a pair of jeans. They were tough skin jeans. Anyone? Tough skins? Please help me out here. Anyone else? Raise your hand so other people know that you're nodding your heads. Yes. Tough skin jeans. They were awesome. But I had a peace sign patch, American flag peace sign patch. That's what I knew about peace when I was 8 years old. But when I accepted Jesus, I did know that he made me whole. I knew he forgave me my sin and that I was made whole in him. I could not have explained peace to you at that time, but that's really what it was, because it was wholeness. It was being made whole because he was reconciling me to his Father. Isaiah 9:6, we looked at this verse last week. We're probably going to look at it many more times over the next few weeks. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And not just still and quiet, but whole. He's the Prince of making us whole. He's the Prince of restoring us to our Father. He's restoring us to who we were made to be to begin with, reconciling us to God. Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that's the whole point. That's why we look forward to Christmas, to the birth of Jesus, is because we know by this child coming, he came for a purpose. 1:76 through 7, to the cross, to die, will be called a prophet of the Most High. For Luke 1:76 through 79, and you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him. Here's John the Baptist preparing the way, preparing for peace, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. Salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, to guide our feet into the path of wholeness, being one with God, not being separated from him anymore, but being able to come into communion with him. Romans 5:1, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? I don't see a lot of peace when I walk into a store this time of year. Anyone? Do you? Am I seeing? I mean, it is nuts, right? It is nuts. We were in Walmart yesterday, and I'm not picking on Walmart. I'm just saying that that's where we were. That's where we were. We were there. It was nuts. Now, I felt like we were nuts running around while we were in there, too, you know, because it was, you know, just, or Isabel's small group had a get-together Christmas party. Was it an actual Christmas party? It was a party. They were party. They had the disco ball going and everything, so it must have been a party, right? And so we went shopping to get her the gift that she needed to take, and she's running all over because she has in mind what she wants. 13-year-old girl. They have a plan. They go in, they get it, they get out. No, no. And that's what I'm fighting the whole time. I'm like, listen, what's the plan before we go over there? Okay, Isabel, what are you going to get? Well, let's just see when we get in there, Dad. I'm like, no, let's have a plan. I need to have peace. I need to prepare before I go into this store. Because there was no peace in there. And we're running around. And you know, I've got to learn that if I want her to get something, I have to suggest the opposite. Right? Right? She's not here this morning, so I can talk. Right? Because if I recommend it, no, she's not. No, Dad. No, Dad. No. But it was crazy in there. And people were running all over the place. And the shelves were all in order and whole and exactly where you needed everything to be. This is sarcasm, folks. It's just a mess. It's a mess. And I tell you, there were people in there working, trying to make the shelves look better and whole. And it didn't work. There's no peace in there. But we can't expect there to be peace unless, you know, we're holding on to Jesus. I stepped back, mainly because I had to settle in those moments. And I see all these people rushing around, and I see people buying things. And a lot of it was even just decorations. We got to have these Christmas decorations. And I'm like, what are we trying to fill our lives with and our hearts with? What are we trying to purchase? What are we trying to get to give us peace? How many of these people? I mean, when you're in a place like that, the marketplace, are we stopping to think about how many of these people know Jesus and know peace? Or are we concerned about just trying to get our stuff and get out? Because the way I was watching people, the way I was hearing people, I wasn't seeing a lot of peace in people. The second thing, peace comes as we walk with Jesus. I think we have that initial, we are reconciled to God, we are made whole with him, and so we have made peace with him, but now we're talking more that peace in our lives that comes through walking with him and growing with him and spending time with him. And so we've got to remember that, yes, there's that initial piece where we are made whole and we're reconciled. But if we don't continue to walk in that, then we're not going to have peace in our lives. Jesus can give us that peace in our lives. As I said, I was saved when I was 8. But I want to say that it probably wasn't until I was 17 that I finally truly understood what it meant to have peace in a walk with Jesus. And really, why did that happen? Well, because when I was 17 is when I finally said to the Lord, okay, God, whatever you want, I'll do it. And that was that true surrender. See, Jesus became my Savior when I was 8, and so I was reconciled to God when I was 8 years old, and I was forgiven and I was saved. But it wasn't until I was 17 that he became my Lord. And man, I wish I would have understood that at 8, because it might have made middle school and high school a lot easier. Or at least easier to navigate because of real peace. But it wasn't until I was 17 that I said, okay, God, it's all yours. And I'll be honest with you, I may not always be able to see what that next turn or what that next corner looks like, but I do know that it's in his hands, and so I don't need to worry about it. Because worrying gets us nowhere, and it solves so many problems, doesn't it? Yet we do it. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. To me, when it's talking about peace and he goes straight into don't let your hearts be troubled, do not be afraid. He knows where we're at. He knows what we're thinking. He knows how we usually tend to live our lives. We worry. We don't have control. When we feel out of control, we don't feel prepared, so we don't have peace. And he says, listen, don't be troubled about it. Don't be afraid. Have peace. I give you my peace. Do we receive it? Or do we have some kind of, for whatever reasons, we feel more in control when we hold onto these things that aren't good for us? Jesus says he gives us his peace. Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation. How many situations? Some situations. 2% of the situations. Every situation, 100% of the time, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And what happens? And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does it say it'll solve the problems? Does it say it'll make the rough roads smooth? No. It'll guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace will. God gives us that peace. Jesus gives us that peace. Luke 2:25-32. We had the baby dedication this morning. And here is another time where Jesus was brought to be dedicated. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. Because what had been promised had now been delivered, and he was whole. He was made whole, and now in peace. What are those things that we're holding on to that Jesus may have already delivered peace to us, but we haven't accepted that peace? When peace comes, we have to accept it. Simeon was promised. God fulfilled that promise, and in that fulfillment, there was peace. God has given us a lot of promises in Scripture that we need to hold on to. We need to get into his word and know that they're there. Because I guarantee when we're going through issues, when things are difficult, when peace is not here, if you spend time with Jesus and get into his word and find those promises, I guarantee that that peace can come if we spend time with him. The third thing, Peace brings unity to the body. Oh, let me go back. Where did I go? Oh, it kept going. We're going to skip that. Number three, peace brings unity to the body. We need to strive to live in peace with each other. Most of those first five definitions of peace in the dictionary, what were they about? Conflict and war. And we think about that. We want to have peace. I believe this, and I've said this, and I'm going to keep saying it because I believe it to be true. The number one reason why a lot of the times lost people want nothing to do with the church is because they don't see us treating each other nicely. They don't see us living at peace with each other. They see us fighting. They see us pointing fingers at each other. They see us not loving each other. And so I believe that a lost world looks at the church a lot of the time and says, why would I want to be a part of that? Is it true? Is it sad? It's very sad. But it's true. God calls us to be at peace with each other. Matthew chapter 1, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And you're like, what's this have to do with peace with each other? Put yourself in Joseph's shoes. How do you think Joseph felt? Betrayed, angry, hurt, mad, angry. Think he got upset? Do you think he was mad at Mary? Do you think he had a bone to pick with Mary? What was he going to do? Divorce her quietly. That's it. I'm out. I'm out. I'm done. I can't believe you do this to me. I think that's how he responded. That's why an angel needed to be sent. Because if he had responded with peace and love, I don't think the angel would have needed to go. But because he was feeling these emotions, which are natural, I'm not saying those were wrong. I would have been the same way. But what does Joseph do? He takes the words that were given to him by the Holy Spirit, by the angel, and he accepts them. And he takes Mary as his wife, and he takes care of her, and he provides for her, and he takes care of her and the baby. He has peace between her and Mary, between him and Mary. Peace. We need to have peace. People do things wrong to us. How do we respond? How should we respond? We need to have peace. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful. Be thankful. Whatever that situation is, that may have happened, that may have taken place, that they may have done to you, be thankful. We're called to peace. Be one body. But Pastor, you don't know what they did. Maybe I don't. Maybe I do. I'm surprised about the things I hear about. Ephesians 2:14, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, Jews and Gentiles brought together as one family. We are one, dividing the wall of hostility. We need to divide our own wall. We need to let go of the wall of hostility and live in peace with each other. And here's the deal. I don't think I saw this as a quote anywhere, but after reading all the things that this impression just stood out to me. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. If you want peace with someone, you can't just wait for it to come. You have to go after it. Peace is not passive. Peace is active. Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. peacemakers. Making is an action. It's a doing. It's something we have to do. Peacemakers. In January, we are hosting here a Peacemakers Conference. And all the information's online. You can go to our website. You can register to be part of this Peacemakers Conference. It's something that the Alliance has, something that they do. And I encourage you guys to look into that. I've been through this conference, and it's really good. It's really good. It helps you learn how to talk with people and help people that are in difficult times. This is important. It's important that we're at peace with each other and one as a body, because guess who's watching? The world is watching. And if they see peace here and if they see love here, then in my opinion, they're going to want to be part of it. But if they only see us fighting and talking about each other and not loving each other and not at peace, they're going to say, why would I want to? Why would I want to? Peace brings unity to the body. Number four, last one, peace comes with Jesus' return. God's kingdom is a kingdom of peace. Kingdom of peace. Isaiah, he will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Back to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. There will be peace for how long? Forever. Forever. Luke 1, 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That went really fast. Come on. Come on. His kingdom will never end. Revelation 21, 3 and 4, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. No more crying, no more death, no more pain. Everything will be whole. That's what we look forward to in the return of Christ. Last week we talked about the hope that we have in Jesus returning. Man, why do we have that hope? Because there will be peace when that time comes. Peace forever. No more turmoil. If you had a peace-free week, I mean, if you had a week full, just a peaceful week, who's going to say that's a good week? Who's going to say, I'll take it? If I could have peace from now until Christmas Day, who I'm going to take it. We can. We can. Peace is not passive, it's active. And Jesus wants to give us his peace. I don't know where you're at today. I'm going to ask Chris to come, the worship team to come. And I just want you to... just in your mind right now, quiet things down and listen. Where are you at? Have you had peace in your heart? Peace in your life? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you today? I'm going to ask this because I need to ask it. Do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You will never have peace until you've made that step. Every single person in this world has sinned. And therefore, we are separated from God. And the only way we can restore that connection and be made whole with God is to accept Jesus as our Savior. If you've never done that, then it's just saying, God, I know I'm a sinner, and I want you to save me and come into my life. That's the first step. Then there's more steps after that. And I'd love to talk to you. One of our elders would love to talk to you. But you can just do that. Do you ask Jesus for his peace? Do you accept his peace in your life? If you know him, are you walking in his peace? When things go crazy, do you stop and say, Lord, I need your peace? I need your wholeness? If you have discord with anyone, have you reached out to make peace with them? We've got to do it. That's hard to do. Yes, it is. But we need to do it. We need to do it. And all of it we do because we have the hope of Jesus' return and the hope of his kingdom being established and the peace that's going to come with that.